I live in a cold state.
Yeah, yeah. We all do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all three of us.
Big brag.
All three.
You're talking to Chicago. Exactly.
I don't feel bad for you for a second.
No.
Tyler has the window open, I think.
I do.
Yeah.
And the rats are crawling in. They own the place. I have bigger problems than climate.
Than cold.
I have
well, that's vermin. Just, you're just like Charlie Day, and you just leave a bunch of cat food outside the windowsill just so you can see your friends.
They are your landlords. Is that right, Tyler?
Uh-huh. They are. The all landlords are rats, and in particular, these rats are my landlords.
A-L-A-R.
Yeah.
Tyler is very lucky that he's got the very famed pizza rat as his landlord. So
lucky. Yeah. Wow.
Like, hey, guess what?
I wonder what he's actually
the
doing.
The check's going to be late. You can handle it. You can handle it.
I wonder what real pizza rat is doing now, if he knows that he's a celebrity. If he's
rat
like
awareness,
you know,
like rat self-awareness.
Yeah. I wonder if he's just like, that was pretty epic. Or if he like ever tells people about this one time I had enough food to last for years. I don't know. Probably a day.
He like hits on younger upcoming rats. And he's like, you know, back in the day, I was kind of a big deal, actually.
Yeah,
I kinda
yeah,
did
yeah.
a lot for rats.
I don't know what to tell you. I just, you know. It's the life I live.
Yeah. I pray.
Hopefully the rat czar hasn't gotten him. You know, I'm not really up to date on how she's doing numbers wise, but we do have a rat czar dedicated to the destruction of rats.
What?
Wow.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
real.
A government
this,
position.
The joke has stopped, and that's real.
Okay. Well, because I mean, I'll believe anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's their like one job is to stop rats, but it's also just like,
how?
What are
how?
We doing? Bigger
this
traps.
A problem.
Big
this
cages.
Been,
yeah, right?
This has been an issue for 300 years.
Exactly.
Like, what are you gonna
how
do
are you
now?
Going to stop this? And also, on top of it, didn't we solve that with that one movie that was the guy that was Marty McFly's dad in Back to the Future? That was
Crispin Glover?
Crispin Glover, wasn't he the Rat King or something like that? Didn't we have that fixed?
I think that was a work of fiction, Danny.
See, I'll believe anything. I'll believe anything.
As previously stated.
I'll believe anything.
Danny thought it was
I
a
was
documentary.
Like, well, this is a crazy documentary.
Crispin Glover's working hard. Yeah. I'll tell you. He's working hard.
I miss the acting days, but he's doing good work. You know, so.
Well, hey, you know what? Some would say you're living in Critterland.
Whoa. Oh,
my God. Incredible.
Well done, Danny.
Yeah, no.
That was really good.
Oh, shit. You throw a fucking softball at the old rascal, it's going to get knocked out of the park. Are you kidding me?
I forgot.
We're coming to play. Yeah. Wow. It is 4 minutes in. We are here. Yeah. I got to stretch. This is great. Yeah.
Well, folks, on that note.
Take this pot and shove it.
Welcome to Take This Pot and Shove It, the podcast where comedians and country fans build the ultimate country music playlist one song at a time. Or, like in today's episode, we review an excellent album that has just come out. We are joined by Deanna Ortiz. We will introduce her in just a moment. But first, I'm one of your hosts. My name is Tyler Snodgrass. Joining me as always, he puts the high in higher lonesome. It's Danny Maupin. Hey, Danny.
Yeah, let's get high, man. anyway, how do you do, you shovelos? You shove heads.
You just scared so many people straight. Like, you just, a lot of kids listening to our show were thinking about dabbling in drugs, and you just convinced them not
You're gonna
to.
You're going to turn out like me, which is pretty cool. I just got more people off of it, too.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, no. We're going to start going to church.
What up, you shovelos, you shove heads, you dirty little shovel fuckers, you shovenauts. Getting all the way high up there in space, up in that anti-gravity, doing the shoving that means loving. Hopefully you're trying to solve some of the problems that are happening down here on this little blue marble. My name's Danny Maupin.
That's correct. Danny Maupin, always by my side. And today we are so happy to welcome back to the show, Deanna Ortiz. How are you, Deanna?
Hi, I'm good. I'm sorry, I didn't realize I shouldn't have been talking during that whole rap.
Oh, no.
Because
I haven't been welcomed
that
in.
We like that.
No, that was perfect.
Okay, great. Yeah. Hi, thanks for having me back.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
So stoked to talk to you.
Yeah, because last time we had John, we were talking about someone new to us. or to me at least, Haha Tonka, right? And fell in love with him.
I believe it's pronounced Haha Tonka, right?
Yes, isn't that right,
Deanna?
When I re-listen to the episode, like I do every morning, I wake up and I turn on and I listen to myself. I think, you fucking idiot, shut up, shut up, shut up. When I'm talking about this band, I'm like, you sound like an idiot. But I listen to it every day and it's Haha Tonka, my boys.
And they're great. And we love them. Mm. But there's a new country adjacent singer in your life.
There's a new man in Deanna's life.
Right. Which is why we have you on today.
Am I correct that we introduced you to Willie Carlisle?
You did. You freaks.
The show works.
Yes. I've been influenced.
Exactly.
I hate it.
I hate it.
I no, but I love it. I was Tyler went to a Willie Carlisle show like shortly after we did the podcast, I think. And so you were at a Willie Carlisle show and I listened to a little bit and I was like, this sounds really good. And then I looked him up to see like if he was coming to Chicago. And then like that next week he was going to be at Sleeping Village. And so I just bought a ticket. I think I maybe heard like two or three songs, but I really liked the video that I watched. And so I was like, well, I know that he's like a good performer from that little clip that I saw. So I'll just go. And I haven't been to a show in a while. And so I took my friend and we had a fucking blast. Yeah. It was so much fun. It was like, it was so fun that 2 days later I drove to Iowa to see him again. Cause I was just like, I got to see him again. It was so good.
It is. He is a fantastic live performer.
So cool.
Yeah. And that's really awesome.
Yeah. Like the song, and I had familiarized myself a little bit more in between Chicago and Iowa with some of his songs, but it is like to see it.
Time to listen to tunes.
I walked. So I walked there and back. So it was took me a while. But I was listening to some of the music. But you're right. Like seeing it live is so much better. And he's such a good performer. And there, I think I texted Tyler when I went after Sleeping Village. And I was like, what are those bones that he has? He was just pulling shit out of his pockets and being like, now we're doing this. And now we're doing that. And there's a taxidermy raccoon over here. Don't look at him. It was like, it was so fun.
Yeah. I mean, such a fantastic live performer. That's the best way to fall in love with Willie Carlisle, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And I was in love with him before. And then I got to see him here in Denver at like Globe Hall about a year ago and flat out floored. And I'd already been such a fan of the music for so long. I just didn't know it could get better.
Yeah. And had you seen him before that night in Denver? Like, have you seen him live or you only listened to him? And then you're like, well, now I'm going to see
him. I'd only listened to him and then saw him. Yeah.
Cool. That's fun. That's really fun. And then,
so Deanna, you've seen him as many times as Danny and I combined.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess I'm the bigger fan. I guess.
That's why we got you.
You're the expert. That's why you're here.
Yeah. Well, if you guys re-listen to the Tonka episode, you know that like I go hard in the paint for bands.
<That's true.
laughs> So like it was kind of like that feeling that I was like, not only do I want to see this again, I need to see it again right now. Like if this was a movie, I'd rewind it and play it again right in this moment, but it wasn't. So I had to travel to Iowa next day.
We're in Iowa.
It was right on the border. God, it was like,
it's kind of a big state.
Golly, I know. Not Rock Island, but somewhere around there, like right outside of the Quad Cities, I would say.
It's not that important.
Dubuque. it was called the Raccoon Hotel Motel.
Oh, I know
like
that's in Des Moines, isn't it?
Des Moines was great. I don't know. I have no fucking clue. But when I crossed the border, it was like maybe 10 minutes outside of there. And then I went and then I drove home that same night.
Wow.
I know.
That's fantastic. No,
Worth it. I literally got there right when he was getting on stage. Couldn't have timed it better in my life.
Wow.
It was
that's
really
awesome.
Perfect.
I've been to that venue before and I love that venue.
It was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cute. The stage was super high up, which I appreciated because I feel like it's a very like long room that you can't really get a good view, but the stage was really high. So I think everybody got to have a good experience.
Yeah. No, it's a beautiful venue. Silly place too. That's why I understand why there was a taxidermy raccoon somewhere.
He doesn't just tour with a taxidermy raccoon. Though if he did, it would make sense.
It would make complete sense. He just put out an album called Critterland. And and he celebrates it so well. It's like that opening to that album, the title track, Critterland.
And the possum knows his own mind more than I do. I'm here for all the love that I can stand.
is like so similar to, it's not similar, but like thematically sort of similar to his opening to Your Heart's a Big Tent, how it just blows the open. The album just wide open from the beginning.
Yeah.
It's so
we're good. Starting. Yeah.
We're digging in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is also probably the most hopeful song on the album, too.
It really is. Yeah.
That's true. It starts off bright and anthemic. It's sort of like, I feel like a thesis for the album. If the thesis is like, life is really bad, but there's some good stuff in there, too.
Right.
And yeah. I feel like the opening track is the most positive way of talking about all of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I we already talked about this, but for the listeners, I texted Tyler last night when I was listening to the album and I was like, this is fucking bleak. I love it. Bittersweet is a good way to put I think of like it's bittersweet. I think so. It's like sad but also hopeful, and it's very like, I don't want to say Great Depression because that's literally just one of the songs, but it does feel very just like, oh, but also we're gonna be okay.
Right.
Are we? Yeah, it's just like that whole back and forth the entire time.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah, it's a lot of life is full of so many bad things, but you have no choice but to be okay, right? Yeah. Like you're gonna be okay because you have to be.
Yeah. Yes.
You don't have another option. And the song Great Depression actually does a really great job of articulating that.
Yeah.
I think.
If the Great Depression made us, there's no need to despair. I won't waste a single moment of the work that brought us here.
But all of the songs really do a good job because he's such a poet, and he is so good at using like the exact right word. There's no like vague language anywhere in it.
Exactly that. Exactly. I was thinking that. I was like, he is getting everything across. And even when like, sorry, finish your thought and then I'll jump into mine.
Oh, I was just going to say there's none of like the issues lyrically that you find in like pop music or, you know, where it's like, okay, this is a song about literally anybody. You just plug yourself in because the song is kind of meaningless. His songs are so full of meaning. It's such good writing. And I feel like every time I listen to it, I get more out of each song.
But I agree, because I listened to it last night and then I re-listened to it today and I'm just like, oh, okay. I kind of, you know, you see it a little bit. Like, and I could listen to it again tomorrow and find something else. And I think that's kind of what's really great about Willie Carlisle in general. But I was going to say, I was listening to Two-Headed Lamb and, you know, me putting my glasses on because I knew I had to study this album for this podcast. I was like, oh, that's probably talking about like, you know, the two different lives that people lead. And like, he's bisexual. So like the two different parts of him being torn in different ways, blah, 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 blah. And then he totally like spells it out for me. And I'm just like, I'm a fraud. Okay. And he's just like, everybody's different, but everybody deserves to live. And it's not, you're not a freak and you're this and that. And it's so beautiful.
Still there were four eyes shining bravely in the meadow that night.
I guess I fell right into it. And I was trying to be so like, oh, dude, I think outside the box. And it was like, no.
Oh, yeah.
We're here.
Well, that's the thing about Willie Carlisle in general, too, is I think as far as country music goes right now, he's maybe thinking the most far outside the box, even though he's incredibly traditional in a lot of his sound.
Yeah.
But his lyrics are completely not that.
Incredibly modern.
Yeah.
Young, it feels like.
It's old-timey like tunes.
His perspective.
Yeah. With, you know, just incredibly modern perspective and lyrics. And I mean, it really makes a connection.
Very relevant.
Because his fans are country fans who are also like, you know, you guys who are, I don't want to denounce your political parties on this podcast right now, but Republicans.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean? But it's like people who love country that also are trying to break the stigma of what country might seem like to, you know, outsiders looking in, like me, before I discovered Willie Carlisle, who think like, oh, that's not for me. It's, you know, that's for other people. But I think he does a really good job of bringing that both together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he does a great job of like articulating and celebrating like progressive points of view while also just like having radical empathy for people. And it's the kind of music where like, even if you were a hardened conservative, I think you could get on board with a lot of the messages because they're not really they're like political if you make them political, but like on the surface, just like they're just like nice, kind, down home, I don't know, ideologies. But definitely for like a progressive listener who is maybe not used to listening to country music because of its, I don't know, its assumed politics.
Yeah.
You really can get a lot out of it. You can be like, wow, this is music for me and my friends who are, you know, marginalized people or whatever.
Yeah.
And I also spent a little bit of time in his like comment section of people when he's like talking about these like political beliefs that he feels very strongly about and like the rights that he believes in, and people that are fans of his music who have that opposite belief. He gets into like, not like fights, but like he gets into conversations with them, and it's really like just like heartwarming to watch him be like, because they're like, oh, I'm a fan of your music, and he's like, hey, if you're a fan of my music, this is what I'm talking about, and like we can find a middle ground, and like I want to meet you on your level, and I want, because I don't know, I think that he's so good about taking those, you know, country people, country music fans who aren't aware of what he's actually, you know, his, what his whole deal is, and bringing them together with the people who are like, yes, we support you and we love all of this, and kind of making more fans for himself. His his PR is through the roof, I'll say. And I spent a good day in those comments being like, this is really nice to watch, because it's the opposite of what you would expect from someone to be like, fuck you, you don't need to listen to my music, like, you're a hater. Instead, he's like, let's meet in the middle.
Right. Well, he's he's built this whole like sense of community around his own brand of country music, too, I think. And I remember when I went to go see him at Globe Hall in Denver, he specifically shouted out, he's like, I can see there's a lot of old punks out here. You guys used to be way into punk rock music, and and now you like this, and I love that, because I love punk rock music too, and I love those people. And like, he's just so inclusive that
when you're like, oh my God, he's talking to me.
Yeah, yeah.
He's talking to like me.
So overly inclusive that you feel like he's talking directly to you. Like, that's that's a skill, you know. He's not generalizing, but he's he's, but he's still collecting more and more fantastic fans from, from the back of the room, from the sides of the wall. Like, they not your typical, you know, and I guess, let's go ahead and get this out of the way, Toby Keith died today, you know, but so RIP to the old Toby Keith, but he's not doing it like Toby Keith did, you know what I mean? Like, Toby Keith was talking directly to, like, the people he knew was going to buy his records and stuff. And really, Carlisle was like, hey, have you heard this? Come on in. Come on in.
I think you might like
it. The water's good.
I think you're going to like it. I think you're going to.
It is very cool to hear that even in the comments section of, gosh, an Instagram post, he is practicing Your Heart is a Big Tent. And he's just
literally,
like,
literally.
That is pretty tight. Something else that I think he does so well, and this, a good example of this, I think, is on the song Peculiar Missouri, of course, from his previous album. But he does such a good job of like telling a story with a ton of specifics. And even if you've never been to the place he is specifically talking about, you kind of feel like you have. So like, for me, I am blessed in that he talks a lot about Ozarks things, and I'm like, I know exactly that place. I know Booger County. I cannot believe you brought up Booger County in a song. That's crazy. But even if I wasn't from there, if I was from anywhere else in the Midwest, I think I would be like, yeah, I know that kind of county.
Yeah. Exactly. Right? Yeah, I was going to say, I've driven to that Walmart before. I have been on that drive in the, you know, right in the early in the morning after a long road trip, or like at the end of a long road, I've been there, like that you, and it's just flat. It's such, and another thing that, to go back to the beginning of like, you listen to the songs and you're like, yeah, Peculiar Missouri, and then you see it live and you're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, from listening to it and seeing it live, there couldn't be two more different versions of the song. It's so good. Really good.
That is that was my number one song, I think, that's of 2022. I think,
was it?
Yeah, was that picture?
The long one was. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Well, because when I got to the end, and so when Money Grows on Trees, it kind of reminded me of Peculiar Misery.
Oh, hippies, hillbillies, won't you gather around? A good man murdered, a bad man drowned. The cops are all moonshiners now, but the money grows on trees. Yeah, the money grows on trees.
And I also, I liked the fact that there was no, like, just like a little bit of like rainfall in the background, it sounded like. But then I also was like listening to it and doing a bunch of other stuff, and I was like, what if it'll never stop? I was like, how long is this song?
Oh, sure, yeah.
And I think that's the same deal that happened when I first listened to Peculiar Missouri. I was like, oh my God, yeah, this is an audiobook now. I was like, oh, it's 7 minutes long. Okay, I got
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was that really reminded me of it when once he started getting into it. And I was like, ah, I see. This is the same mm-hmm. kind of vibe.
Oh,
as that.
For sure.
And I love that he kept that on there, because that's such a folk tradition, and he mm-hmm. absolutely modernizes it and makes it like a modern issue of, like, you know, desperation leading to like dealing drugs and like mm-hmm. policing being corrupt and over policing and the war on drugs that was started by Reagan and all that. Like, he makes it extremely modern, mm-hmm. but it's a, you know, this is like a 100-year-old tradition, is like
yeah.
the spoken word folk tale, you yeah. know, and it's such a cool way to yeah. end the album.
I'm excited to see that be performed live after, you know, seeing what he can do with
yeah.
another long story like Peculiar Missouri, turning that into like you're just rapt by him on stage, like what he's going to do with something like that on stage, because it's really fun. It's going to be fun to see as well.
Yeah. What was the difference? I don't think he did Peculiar Missouri when I saw him. What's the difference between
it was
the
a lot
live
more
album,
theatrical
or the album and the live?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely a lot more. Not like. Now, I wouldn't say like the cadence of it is different, but a lot more performed, a lot more like, you know, you can see him driving and he just acts out the way of, like, you know, when you're just so tired and then the doors open and you yeah. step through, and like, and I think it's a lot more like he's taking more time with, like, when he gets on those rants of like when you're driving and then you see the familiar sign, Wally World, and he really speeds, I guess, the pacing of it. That's what I'm trying to say. The pacing of it is a little bit different, and I think more performed.
Well, yeah, he has that lucky thing yeah. of being such an incredibly talented musician that he can,
yeah.
he generally performs completely solo. And mm-hmm. so then he has that freedom to really take, and it, you're right, it is more theatrical and dramatic, and it is more like spoken word poetry, because that song pretty much mm-hmm. is. And,
yeah.
And mm-hmm. so he just takes time at the right places and speeds up at the right places. And it just really is jaw dropping. Yeah.
Yeah. I will also say I was surprised to hear a female voice on I Want No Children. Like you said, he performs alone. And I was excited to hear like another voice or even a couple voices added in.
The truth is that I want no children. Mama says there's still time yet. I want no kid, no kind, no future.
I Want No Children and or Higher Lonesome.
Oh, both are great.
There's a
yes.
female voice on it. I loved Higher Lonesome.
Yeah,
it was so
yeah,
good.
Yeah. It's so good.
Higher, gosh, they're all so good. I like.
This is now just the Willie Carlisle doting over a podcast. Like, that is like,
yeah, we're just gonna knock out.
Okay,
10
which
episodes,
one did you hate?
One per song.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, what's the skip?
Yeah. Okay.
For everybody. yeah, Higher Lonesome is so good. Great Depression is one that really sticks out to me, also.
I really like the arrangements.
Jeez.
Dude, the
ooh,
arrangement
that one's heavy.
Fucked me up. That one's heavy.
That one's yeah. so heavy.
So let's pour one out for the bastard. It's still sad when bad men die. Or you can pour your drink out in the sink, go on and live your life.
I'm my father's spitting image and I spit upon the mirror. I was just like, what yeah. the fuck? And then I rewound it and listened to it again. I was like, what the fuck? Is this allowed? It was, it cut. That cut.
Yeah, but it's yeah. like, it good. You know, it's also, it's still sad when a bad man dies, you know, pour one out
yeah.
for the old bastard mm-hmm. and all that stuff. He's like,
yeah.
really getting it out there, but he's not yeah. hiding it between the lines either.
Exactly. Yeah, that's, yeah. it's like, he's letting you know, this is what it is.
yeah.
Which yeah. I appreciate, because like I said, with Two-Headed Lamb, I tried to be like, this is probably what it's about. And then he's like, don't worry, I'll tell you. hey, don't worry.
I got you.
Hey, it's yeah. okay.
There are layers to peel back, but also I am mm-hmm. letting you know exactly what's
yeah.
going on.
And then when you listen to it the second or third time, you can find the other layers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right. The arrangements, God, the first time I heard that, it took me like halfway through the song to be like, oh, this really is as heavy as the first line implied, because the first line is he was dead inside my head long before he died.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's just some good. That's just a hook. And then
okay, we're
halfway
I'm
through.
In.
I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. This is- yeah.
Did you guys have any idea what this album was going to be like before you listened to it? Because
no.
I listened to Critterland and I was just like, oh, okay. Like a bop. And then I listened to this and I was like,
right.
What this? I didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I did not. I saw some like early reviews that described it as like a almost as like a post-apocalyptic folk album. Like,
okay,
that's of course metaphorical. Almost like we all are dealing with our own. We all are survivors of our own emotional apocalypse or something. Uh-huh. Like we're all survivors of something insanely traumatic that has happened, and we're dealing with it maybe. But having listened to it now a bunch of times, I am like, yeah, this is a post-apocalyptic, whatever that means. We're all living in, we're all trying to find hope in whatever dystopia is our own world.
Your own personal post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. But no, I had no idea that it was going to be it was going to be an album that leaned so heavy on the bittersweet and the bleakness. But, you know, even on songs like The Arrangement, he does such a good job with balance. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a song that is just full of hate or anything like that, right? It just addresses the complexities of the father-son relationship or the parent-child relationship, and like how sometimes it can be really bad, and you can have a lot of like bad feelings but also a lot of like feelings of longing. And
yeah, no, that's exactly it. And that's like, that's what I think is so like heart-wrenching about it, because you have heard many songs before that's just like, you know, my dad sucked, blah, blah, blah. But it's just like, I can't help but feel sad as well as like, he's been absent.
Well, yeah. And it's like, just also even just that like, really simple things. Like, I mean, just me talking personally, my mom tries to call me probably 4 times a week and I probably answer once, you know, because I'm just like, I can't do it right now. But then when we do talk, we talk for 2.5 hours and have the best time. And she's like my best friend and everything. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I just can't do it right now.
And maybe if you answered the other phone calls, it'd be less than, you said 2 hours broken up between.
Yeah, but those are the fun times. It's like, that's also part of it too. It's like, I know I need all of this time.
I'm going to need to block out some time.
Yeah. Because we're going to really dig into it and have some fun and like talk about everything. But that also aside, I just love the fact that the song is called The Arrangements, because you think about that from a musical side, it's like, okay, well, arrangement of music, verse, chorus, verse, you know, bridge, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, however you want to write your song. But also it's because he's planning his father's funeral. So
and also maybe planning this song that he's going to write for his dad's funeral. Right. Like, I've been writing this song long before he died, even like in the same one, like he's been dead long before he died. Yeah. Like, I've been writing this song before he died.
Yeah.
The arrangements are in order.
I mourn my...
Whoa, did I do it?
That's the other thing too.
You cracked
that
it.
I mourn my mother's death while she's alive. I still, I do all the time. I do it all the time. I think about how I'm going to miss her. But she's here.
I know. Yeah.
You know.
You guys have 2-hour phone calls.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's a really
So it really hits a chord for me.
All of it. Yeah.
But I'm not going to, I don't look like her, and I'm not going to spit on the mirror. So I think I'm safe there.
Because you got to clean that up.
Yeah, she ain't there. She ain't there to clean it up.
Well, she lives another time
zone.
Hey,
Mom, come on. I got you a flight over here to Denver. You can clean the spit off of my mirror.
You can clean my mirror.
Clean this place up, please.
Please. I'm just a baby.
Mommy made, please. Can I have the mommy?
Jaybird I really liked as well.
Oh, yeah.
In that same vein of like darkness and like friends or people dying. But this definitely felt a little bit more like sad, but also hopeful, at least in the line where he's just like, they never found your body, but I see your body everywhere or something like that. Or like, I find you in places. That's like, I thought was really sweet of like, taking that same type of topic of like death and mourning. But this one is very much more like celebrating and as opposed to like a bittersweet acknowledgement of somebody's passing.
Oh, hey, Jaybird, well, you finally found home. You're a long time running, now you're a long time gone. Hey, Jaybird, I'm doing just fine. fire.
Yeah. I mean, I think Tyra hit it on the head saying the balance. Because, like, none of the songs, the songs are powerful. They're strong and they hit you. But by the end, you're not like, you could be weeping by the bridge or whatever.
And I am.
Well, that's just where you live, you know, by the bridge.
I live under the bridge.
Beat me to it, yeah. Anthony Kiedis is on the podcast, right, folks. Anthony, how did you become? What is your history of country music? Come down.
But you know, you could be like so like heartbroken with how beautiful and how poetic his lyrics are and how much they are direct and just punch you in the gut. But by the end of the song, you're always just going to be like, wow, that was fucking good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Jaybird is my favorite song on the album. That's subject to change, of course, but that's the one I keep at the moment coming back to a lot. And I mean, obviously it is catchy and it's really fun and I love the instrumentation on it, but I also just like, it's a song that hits me right now, you know, just thinking about even the not suicide related, but just thinking about like friends that have passed. I'm like, gosh, the I find your body all over this town, like just the random memories that pop in when you can never see someone again is so real.
Yes.
And that's such a way of putting
it. Yeah. And that doesn't even have to mean somebody that has died. You know, I've got friends that I just will never see again. I've got friends that have told me to never see them again. You know,
and are they friends? Would you still consider them friends?
Friends is not the word, maybe.
I have good friends who have restraining orders against me. My friends. I love them.
I
love them. And they love me. I don't know why they brought the law into this.
There's no law. My friends are crazy. Well, I guess I am divorced, but that's allegedly not the one that I'm talking about. I just have some friends that, you know, I do see like things that remind me of them, but we are no longer in communication, you know?
But Danny, I do know what you mean by that as well. I feel like I have friendships that just because of, you know, one or both of us like moving and just lives changing, it's like, we're not friends, but we haven't had a reason to keep up the friendship in a long time. And every now and then I'm like, oh yeah, I miss being friends with that person.
Yeah.
But we'll probably never hang out again.
Right.
You know, they live, because they live in, what was
Brooklyn.
It? They live in Des Moines or whatever. Yeah, they live in Brooklyn. They live in Ridgewood. I'll never see you again.
Good riddance.
You think I'm hopping on two trains to see your ass? Why don't you reach out to
every
me?
Time he leaves a state, he changes his name.
I know. Yeah, that's Steve Gerrard's for the real ones.
I mean, just say.
His
pour
old
one out. Name. Pour one out for the real ones.
Pour one out for the bastard.
Steve Gerrard? Right.
No, not Steve Gerrard. I'm quoting Willie Carlisle from the album.
I know, and I'm doing a little tag on the joke that we were doing.
You're doing a bit. You're doing a bit. All right.
Keep up,
I'm
Danny.
Doing a little tiny joke. It's an inside joke for our friends.
I thought I was better at this. No, some
Danny's
friendships
go
just dissolve. You know? That's just how, you know, sometimes it's death and sometimes people just walk away from each other.
True.
It's never fun either way.
Well,
anyway,
you got a point. Well,
let's get to our sponsor, Better Health, and talk about
That's good.
I do want to talk about the song The Great Depression.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Cuz it is that's also one of the songs that I have come back to the most. And you know, both The Great Depression and Jaybird do this thing that I love, which is pretty upbeat major key music that reveals itself to be much deeper or darker than just the instrumentation alone would suggest.
Oh, for sure.
And The Great Depression, I think, is actually a song that is mostly hopeful.
Yeah.
But it's still, there's just certain lines that really hit me.
I call that the semi-charmed life effect.
The
Third Eye Blind semi-charmed life song, where it's like, the song is, like all happy and cheery, but he's talking about like doing meth and like falling asleep inside women and like
and, oh my god,
like listen to the lyrics, like it's dark, it's dark, dark, dark. Yeah, it's
but it tricks you, it tricks you with the hooks.
Yeah,
and you're having so much fun. Yeah, listening to it. It's the line. I think it closes out the choruses on the Great Depression. The line is, "If the Great Depression made us, there is no need to despair. I won't waste a single moment of the love that brought me here."
That's good.
Yeah. That is a gut. That's a gut puncher for me. And I think it's you know, very Willie Carlisle too. Of course, have a ton of nuance in their lyrics, but to also like address like, yeah, we've all been through some really bad shit, but you're better for it.
Yeah.
And you should be kind of thankful you survived and overcame bad shit, because now you're better than you ever were.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tag that with another one from the Great Depression. "I still cry my eyes out every time I dare to touch the spirit. And if this is our small lot in life, I'll love it like I mean it." Very good.
Yeah.
That's
so good.
It is very good. Well, and seeing him live, you could tell also that he lives his life with so much intention for goodness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For positivity and for, but you know, he's been through a bunch of shit. He's had a crazy life leading up to, you know, now his musical success and everything too. And he's not
still so young.
Yeah. And he's not saying that those chapters are closed. He's saying like, I remember this and I'm going to use it. And it's going to mean something to me and I'll be better for it. Exactly like we were saying, Tyler, like, hell yeah, man, that shit hits me hard. Mm-hmm. You know, I think all three of us have been through some gnarly shit, but like, I think we all, you know, wake up with a smile, and I think
not
that's
me.
The Willie way.
Deanna wakes up, listens to that episode of our podcast.
Not me.
Punches drywall.
But it has your guys' picture on it. It's a picture of Tyler and a picture of Deanna.
Every time Deanna wakes up, it's just like the beginning of Apocalypse Now, where Martin Sheen is punching through the mirror in a cocaine haze, like in Vietnam.
So the first album that he had that I listened to, it just felt very like not upbeat and like optimistic, but it definitely feels a lot different. It feels like this is, like we said, like a little bit more serious, a little bit more to the point, and dark, but not in an unapologetic way, but like in a hopeful way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's several times
I totally
excited
agree.
To see what he does next. I know he just released something, but what's the next one going to be?
Let's go on now.
But there's several times he goes back to that theme of light. Like, there's light. There's light.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's dark right now, but there's light, and you'll find more as you keep going. Like, that's like a through line in the album that I recognized.
And honestly, I see that, like, a lot in post-pandemic music now, of like, not just this, I definitely don't feel like this is a pandemic album, but this like dark album that's just like, we've gone through it, and then there's this light at the end of the tunnel, in like a theme of a lot of albums that I listen to. I famously listen to sad boy music, but that is like a theme that's coming across in a lot of albums that I'm listening to right now, which is interesting.
Well, yeah, we're all still albums. Dealing with that time. That you know, we're still dealing with that hoax, and
Danny. Danny,
I'm kidding.
I'm still trying to locate that microchip they put in me,
I find it, I'm gonna call Joe Biden on the phone myself.
I will. I'm gonna talk. If Sleepy Joe's wake even up, awake to answer ring, the ring. Call, then
hello. You left something in my vaccine, and it's a microchip.
Yeah. How they fit that thing in that syringe?
No, science.
Science. Yeah. Well, don't talk to me about that.
I'm done. No.
E equals MC squared. You're the square of science guy.
I've got a theory for you. How about knock it off? How about that?
Hey, guess what? I ain't getting the dang vaccine unless it's being administered by young Sheldon. It's gonna be.
I thought he said young children, and I was like, weird fucking turn. Weird turn.
technically that'd still be the same. But.
Yeah, young Sheldon. Yeah. I guess so. It's so funny. I was like, okay, Danny.
They're the only ones you can trust.
Hey, he knows the Big Bang Theory. I can't figure that out.
Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah. If he ain't going to put it on me, nobody is.
Well.
That'll be a good line to clip for promo.
Uh-huh, yeah, that's going right on the gram. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, Lord. Something I was thinking about with this album, I mean, I I've been listening to it so much and I will continue to, and there's so much meat on that bone, as we like to say. But I was thinking that if I was to try to still sell someone on Willie Carlisle, I think I am mostly pulling from Peculiar Missouri, maybe still. I think those might be more like accessible songs. And then once they're hooked, you can be like, okay, and now here's the hard shit.
Yeah.
And then
you get them like, absolutely. I really, I agree. Yeah. Like Tulsa's Last Magician, Your Heart's a Big Tent. Like that's like you're going to get hooked immediately. And then to like, I think taking that, like we talked about before, like Your Heart's a Big Tent and Critterland have the same kind of like energetic opening to be like, yeah, and now let's lead you into here. But yeah, I agree.
If you, he hooks you so quick, like you're saying, and then you, but if you're smart, I am. Well, of course, that's why we have you on to talk about Willie Carlisle. We ain't trying to talk to no dang dummies out here about any of this. I'd like to talk to my older brother about this fucking meathead. He wouldn't know any of this shit. He wouldn't.
Cut that.
Don't cut it. He's not going to listen to it. He doesn't even know how a podcast works. But,
Cat Williams is here, dragging more people. Go off, Danny.
No, but you know, I'm there. If you're smart, then like you realize the quality behind it, and then so you dig deeper. It's like almost like how Kurt Vonnegut is like incredibly hilarious, but then sometimes we'll just like, you know, he put out books that would just like gut you and expand your mind all at the same time. So you have to like, you have to get hooked somehow. You know, everybody's got to read Slaughterhouse-Five and then you read Breakfast of Champions and you're like, fuck, you know, and this is like his Breakfast of Champions.
Yeah. That's great.
I like that comparison a lot.
And a lot of people think I don't know how to read.
I was just about to say that was, I think that's such a perfect analogy, but you have, I have to cut it because you've ruined, it's canon that you cannot, so that audio is getting deleted.
We can't let people know.
No, yeah, we got to keep
Danny learned the how whole to read. Thing.
Yeah. Just last week.
Congrats. And you started with Slaughterhouse 5.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was my first book. Nothing about the Giving Tree. Or
I'm going to send you Infinite Jest in the middle. Yeah, I think you're like really going to love it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I like you. Yeah, I started with Slaughterhouse 5. I couldn't find Slaughterhouse 1 through 4, but I figured, who cares?
We'll just I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
The guy who thinks it's like a franchise.
That's a funny tweet if no one has tweeted it. Like, will I understand Slaughterhouse 5 if I haven't seen 1 through 4? Quick, someone get to Twitter right now.
Quick. Oh, okay, I got it.
Fast.
Quick, to the internet. I also really love off of, I know we've never talked about this album, but his first, one of his first EPs in 2016, what Cheap Cocaine was on, Too Nice to Mean Much is the title of it. Up the Hill, I listened to that like on a loop. It's so, so good. Yeah. Really, really good. Let me see if I can quick pull up the lyrics. It's like, are you going to give me the lyrics? No, it's just saying that he's going to be at Shuba's. I know, I can't go. Tell me the lyrics. Don't tell me where he's going to be. But I really do love that song. I think that is another song as like a quick entryway to people. Into Willie Carlisle. Yeah.
And I mean that EP is great too. I think Folk Art Masterpiece, the song is beautiful. Yeah. I think on a previous episode I just wound up calling the new album a folk art masterpiece, forgetting that I know that phrase because of him.
Right.
And then also Cheap Cocaine is so good.
Really great.
Oh, not even the song. That's not what.
Oh,
Tyler
also the song
about.
Is really.
Damn, wow. Oh shit.
We've been hanging out too much.
But he even says in his shows, he's like, I'm going to sing this song and like, do not message me on Instagram if you guys are doing cheap cocaine. If you're going to do drugs, test your drugs. Like, he's like, that's the whole point of the song. I'm just like, I'm done doing cheap cocaine. And everybody's just like, Willie, what's up? Ah. And he's like, don't tell me this. I don't want to know. Test your drugs before you do them.
Oh, gosh.
He even brings up that sort of theme again on this new album on Critterland, where he's talking about, you know, it doesn't.
When the pills are off. Man alive. Yeah.
Oh, I lost friends to heroin. Plenty more loving them. Strung out on the highway like we couldn't read the signs. Now that I am older and burned colder, I know how to read between the lines. But the only time I get these guilty thoughts is when the pills wear off.
When the pills wear off, and he's talking about the fentanyl and everything like that, that's like laced with everything. And, you know, that one hits me hard too. I've lost some friends to that bullshit, and I think it's stupid. I think it's so stupid. Stop putting that shit up your nose, you fucking idiots.
I promise I'll stop.
It makes me angry. It makes me angry.
I promise I won't do it anymore. But I think it's a really. Good statement.
Something, you know, like you have to, because I'm tired of seeing people go that way.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me.
And I think that's like the exact same sentiment that he's like, I need to make, like, how much more awareness can I bring? You know, he has Narcan available at his shows. He has, you know, things for people to test, drugs available at his shows. And he's like, I think he's just a really big advocate of, like, as much as I can talk to people about this and sing about it and bring, you know, I think not just him, but a lot of other performers are trying to do this, to kind of do the same thing that you were just talking about, like, just have more and more people become aware of it. So sad. When that line hit, I just went, oh my God. Like, I didn't see that's where it was coming. It was just really wild.
Yeah. It slapped me in the face.
Yeah, fuck. I know. That was one of the singles that came out the album dropped. And I remember I was walking to get a slice of pizza. And I was like, oh, let's listen to the new Willie Carlisle song. And I just had to, like, it took a second and I had to, like, stop just, like, on the sidewalk. And I was like, oh, no. And I, like, started the song over, and I was like, I gotta listen
to this again.
I can't passively listen to this. It might be too passive. I need to
What I did. I did the exact same thing. I got to that and I was just like, I haven't been paying attention. I gotta go back. And the drop off when hits fentanyl, and then it just was like, I gotta start this song again.
Like the string descent. Yeah, I know. And what I also think is so great about that song is it isn't just a warning, and it's not just a song of mourning, but it's a song of, like, confessing that even if you don't do drugs that are, like, inherently dangerous, we all have probably something that we use as a coping mechanism. Yeah. And, like, the narrator of the song admits that they're still, like, dealing with guilt and depression, and they are managing that themselves. And they've endured so much heartache that they're doing their own kind of drugs in order to manage that. And they're not perfect either.
And the only it's like that self-fulfilling prophecy of it. Just like, when are we going to get a hold of this? And then the only way we cope with it is starting again.
Yeah.
Yeah. When can I transform into a possum? And and then I'll be done with this. And then I will not have to deal with all the human heartache of this.
That's one of my favorite things about this whole album too, is Take Me to Critterland is the very beginning. I want to go, Take Me to Critterland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Great opening.
And then explains to you, it's the thesis statement. And then the rest of the album is like, this is why I want to just be an animal.
Yes, this is why.
So I don't have to deal with this shit again.
See below.
So I don't have to.
See evidence 1-9 after the song Critterland. Yeah.
It's fantastic. I mean, he's he came into Tyler and I's world just a few years ago, and he just keeps knocking my goddamn socks off.
Courtesy of Michael Timlin, we should say.
Ah.
Friend of the show.
Oh, wow. How did Timlin find him?
I assume somebody, classic folk word of mouth style. Somebody showed him Tulsa's Last Magician, and he recommended it to us.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That song definitely, like, help, not help, but like that song traveled fast to like get it and got a lot of people in on him.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. It turns out there's a lot of lost people out there and he's finding them all.
That's yeah, the go figure.
Way, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Our friends, which I think you know at least one of these people, Deanna, but Kevin White and Lizzie Cassidy, two New York comics, Kevin, former Chicago comic, they were like on the road or something and they told me they put on the Take This Pod and Shove It playlist to be like, oh yeah, let's check out these tunes.
It's working. The podcast is working.
And they said they both were just like crying during Tulsa's Last Magician. They were like, that was the first song that kind of ruined us on the road trip.
Ruined our fun road trip.
Yeah. And I was like, yes.
Yes.
It worked.
Good riddance. Work. Yeah.
Yeah, we're taking the credit for Willie.
So since we're doing an album, since we're doing an album, what song's going to be added onto the playlist since we covered all these songs?
Oh, well, we were just kind of doing a review on this one.
Got it. Okay.
Let's get some pals together and just talk about it. And we were stoked.
So no song? I'm kidding.
You were converted.
When you have Willie on the podcast, he can pick a song. I already picked my song.
I don't know. Why don't we all three pick a song? And then we can, you know, you put them on the playlist if you want to, or if not, you can dance if you want to. Don't leave Willie behind.
So we each pick our favorite song from the album.
Oh, that's
and then
this is tough for me because it's new. It's new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I haven't. I've only listened to it like three times.
I find my opinion is changing like every day or so. Like today, it's Jaybird. But earlier it was Critterland. Before that it was High or Lonesome. I'm really shifting a lot.
Wow.
Which I think is an indicator of a good album. You know, it's if the song has one hit, then it's like, okay, well, it should
that you keep gravitating towards. Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, I'm bopping around on this one.
I'm voting High or Lonesome. That's mine.
I've been called by a higher lonesome.
Higher Lonesome, no questions, no further questions. Thank you.
Please do not make me interrogate my decision.
Yeah.
No, I do kind of compare it to like something like Radiohead's like Kid A or The Bends or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like those are two of my favorite albums of all time. And I still can't pick my favorite song. I'm just like, these are all great.
Yeah.
I think I really like Dry County Dust.
Thank God forgiveness comes in so many shapes. I've been traveling in anger, trying to ditch the shades. If you get high in Texarkana, can you still wake up in grace? That's mom in the kitchen singing sweet by and by.
Oh, we did not talk about that song.
Sweet by and by.
Yeah.
It's talking about going home to your mama's house to dry out because you've done fucked up your whole life or anything like that. And I got to say that's not that I'm proud of it. kind of a situation I've been through before.
Can't say it's the least relatable song, but.
Right.
We've all been there. Yeah. We've all gone home. We've all gone home.
Yeah.
One but for months at a time.
Who says you can't go home?
Now that's the song we got to add to the playlist.
We got a
Bon Jovi's country masterpiece.
Who says you can't go home?
Go home.
Good God.
On this day, the day of this recording, February 6th, the year of our Lord 2024, I will say Jaybird is the song. But man, the Great Depression is creeping up.
That one's great. I mean, they're all so good. Two-Headed Lamb kills me.
So good.
When the Pills Wear Off kills me. I mean, it's hard to pick one, but I don't know. I
Let's meet back in a month, and we'll do this again.
That sounds good.
And we'll promise to never change, except for the songs that we pick.
How about this? If none of us are married in a year, we'll come back and do this podcast again.
Okay, we have to. Yeah.
I just do think that Dry County Dust is like the one that like I feel like he's talking directly to me.
Yeah.
He's so your he's like ghost of Christmas presenting you.
He's telling.
When do we tell Danny he's in the Truman Show and he is?
He's like just telling my story. Like I've already lived, you know.
I love that.
And I'm just like, well, okay, cool. Shit.
I love that. I have one little.
Those things are important to somebody that you know is going through that kind of situation. Is to realize that you're not alone, and other people have felt this too. It's really important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just voiced really well. So that's my pick.
Love it. I love
it. That's great.
Yeah.
That's
I was going to say that I was at a show and someone came up to me who I knew and they said, is that joke written about me? And I went, no, I will never and have never written a joke about you. And then he was just like, oh, well, I thought like this, this, this. And I was just like, could it be maybe in this world that my comedy is just so relatable that and it's so true
that maybe
there are more than one person who this joke is written about. And he was like, and I was like, get the fuck out of my face. So I feel like maybe I'm like the same as Willie Carlisle because my jokes are so relatable, although I meet them with aggression.
Well,
as opposed to acceptance.
My heart is a gun. Back off.
They're relatable.
It's a big gun.
Exactly. Well, and it's like, I don't know, at my day job, people are always like, how much stuff do you say about us in your comedy? I'm like, you're not that important.
Exactly. That's exactly it. I'm like, I can't
you're
even imagine.
Not that important. I don't think about you as soon as I walk out this door.
And they can't get their head out. Like, they can't stop thinking about you.
They can't.
Obsessed.
Yeah.
Love that.
None of them have ever come to any of my shows. They could just find out.
You could just say, why don't you come to a show and you can see?
Yeah.
That's how you get a fan.
That's how you fill out your next bringer show is just scary, cryptic mentions of maybe they're in a joke next time you're at work.
Right. Well, that's the other thing, too, is they always ask me, you know, this is the most terrible and relatable thing for all comedians, right? As soon as somebody finds out you tell jokes for money, they're like, oh, well, tell me a joke. It's like, where's the money?
Yeah. I always tell people.
Yeah.
That's what I always say. And that gets a laugh every time. And so I'm like, all right, that's done. But no, seriously, don't ever ask me that shit again. Unless you.
I tell people, you need a 2-drink minimum to see my shows. Yeah. Hey, I don't perform for free. Yeah.
That's good.
Yep.
Yeah. all right. Well, to close us out, Deanna, what are your final thoughts on the album Critterland by friend to the world, Willie Carlisle?
My personal friend, Willie Carlisle. I really liked it. I did not know what I was expecting after listening to Peculiar Missouri. I thought it definitely played right into the kind of music that I love. Sad music, hopeful music. Like it feels very bittersweet. But like I said, I think we cover this a lot, that he does a great job of balancing the topics that he's talking about. And I'm excited to see which one of these songs, like, will, how different some of the songs that he has that are on the album are going to be performed live, because that is like a really fun thing too, like we talked about in the beginning, to see these, listening to these songs that you love on Spotify, big plug, and then seeing them live, it's like, oh, it's totally different. It's a different experience. I'm excited to see how those songs translate to the stage.
Yeah, and I think right now he is on tour with a small group. I think he is touring with two people instead of solo at the moment, which obviously he can carry an entire show for hours by himself. But I do hope I get to see him on the tour that supports this album, because it just seems like it's going to be an even fuller, more robust show with like more instrumentation. And he's just such a great live act. Obviously he has not paid us to say any of this, cause obviously, we're devoted to our sponsor Waffle House, but he is on tour right now. And we can't recommend going to see him enough. So check out his website, go see him live, go listen to his album. We're obviously big fans.
It truly is. Oh, it just truly is a captivating experience to see him live.
Yeah.
You can tell that at one point he used to be a poetry professor, you know, at the university level, and a presenter and a fantastic musician, because it is just, it's a one of a kind show. It's all, I don't know how to, what's the right word here? It's not orchestral. It's not like an opera. It's not like that. It's just like You've never seen it.
Very curated?
Very curated, but also some off the cuff.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, he does. I felt like he improvised very well. Like, I feel like he knew exactly what he wanted to do, and part of what he wanted to do was read the room and read the energy and play with it and embrace that this show was different than his last show, you know,
and it's going to be different than the one tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was really good about that.
That's good.
Obviously, we're huge fans. We're also huge fans of our guest, Deanna Ortiz. Deanna, it was so good to see you again. Thanks for doing the show.
Thank you, guys. Please tell
all our people what you're up to, how they can keep up with you in comedy and any other projects that you have.
So much stuff. It's fun and it's cool. You can find me on Instagram at Deanna Ortiz _. That's where I post about a lot of my stuff. Sorry, my dads are laughing at me. But I just also started this... Danny's on a delay.
Are you claiming we're your dads?
Yeah.
We are.
I plugged my Instagram and Danny's just like, kafuh.
What?
Sorry, oh, no. Should I plug my cell phone?
It wasn't.
If you want to book me, you know.
I wasn't laughing at you plugging your Instagram. Yeah. I was laughing at you going, it's so fun and it's so cool.
Yeah, it is. It's fun and cool. And I'm stressed out all the time. And nothing has changed. But I'm stressed out all the time because I'm starting this new audio series with a company called Hatch, where I read true crime bedtime stories to people while they fall asleep. It's super fun, and it's not like gory true crime, so it's a lot of like not kidnappings, it's a lot of like heists and robberies. That would be gory. There is one kidnapping that I did, and it was a survivor story, so that was really good. I'm researching a lot of like escaping from jail stories right now. So I tell you those types of true crime stories to help you fall asleep. And it's super fun. And I write 4 little book reports every single week.
Wow. Oh my gosh. So much work.
I know. I'm so tired.
Yeah.
But they're fun. They're fun. And I do these book reports because I want to get the stories right. And I love learning about these crimes. And I love telling people about these crimes. Because now I just have all this useless information about how many times the Van Gogh Museum was robbed in Amsterdam. Yeah. Okay.
Great.
But all that stuff is on my Instagram.
Okay. And to clarify, this is through an app or a subscription. This is not a house call thing, right? You don't read them in person.
Well, let's not.
At someone's bedside.
Let's not stop just yet.
Well, if you get on the right Patreon tier. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Pay enough and I will travel. it's on the Hatch device. So if you go to Hatch, they have like, they're like alarm clocks that wake you up with light and noise instead of like harsh alarming sounds. And then they also will like put you to sleep with like sleeping noises, like pink noise or brown noise to help you fall asleep, and they're really cool. I have one. It's kind of awesome. But yeah, you can only listen to it if you have the device and the Hatch app.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah. Okay,
well then get on, man.
Plugged.
Plugged. Thoroughly plugged. And obviously if you're in Chicago or neighboring areas, go see Deanna live. She's a phenomenal stand-up.
Please.
Oh, so funny. So funny. Seriously.
Thank you. Yeah. And let's see Willie Carlisle live too.
Let's stop what we're doing, embrace the van life and follow him around and bother him at all of his shows.
Yeah.
make him sick of our fandom. Anyway, we appreciate you all listening to this episode of Take This Pod and Shove It. If you enjoyed this episode, or if you're a big Willie Carlisle fan, we hope you will share this episode with a friend. Spread the good word that is Willie and that is progressive country music. If you want to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/takethispod. There's a number of tiers. You can check out the one that works best for you. If you want to support the show for free, I guess that's fine. Also, you can do that by giving us a 5-star rating and only 5 stars. Please, no less than that. That would be bad. And if you do that, you're a narc. You got to pay the narc tax. And you can also
want to do that too.
You don't want to do that. No. With this inflation, no, sir. You don't want to do that at all.
It's just Danny making house calls.
Yeah. I just call everybody up like, hey,
hey up.
By the way, I'm going to take it out of your ass. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
It's over. The podcast is done.
That's me punching people. I'm just punching people that give us under 5-star reviews. I'm not a violent man. I'm not a violent man.
I don't know. You're sounding pretty violent.
You can also leave a review. That helps the algorithm. You know how that, you know how the algorithm is. They love reviews. So go feed the alg and do that. You can reach out to us on Instagram. You can follow us on Instagram at Take This Pod and Shove It. You can email us at takethispodandshoveit@gmail.com. And those are the plugs. Thanks again to Deanna Ortiz, our wonderful guest. I am Tyler Snodgrass. That was Danny Maupin. And we love you. We'll see you next week.
And if you, one little quick thing, one bonus about the Patreon. If you subscribe to that Patreon, we're going to help Deanna move out from under that bridge.
We have a special Deanna fund going right now.
Thank you. It's so important. It's so important.
Take this pot and shove it.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, my alarm just went off. I'm supposed to be recording a podcast right now, but it's a podcast.